You would pray with me. Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, my rock and my redeemer. Amen.
So once again, Merry Christmas. There are 12 days of Christmas. We've got another week left or so before Epiphany marks the end of the Christmas season. And I, as I'm sure many of you, do love Christmas. And I love seeing all of the greenery around us. And I love the chance to take a break from the worries of the world and be returned to a place of hope and joy for the future when all things are possible. But soon the decorations will come down. The lights will go off. The Christmas cards that are 4 feet high on people's lawns will disappear. And we will forget a little bit about Christmas as our attention turns to the new year. And in that time, when the days are still fairly dark, fairly short, long way away from the summer equinox, still very close to the winter equinox of last week, we will return to the worries and doubts that we so frequently characterize as real life. Doubts about health that are very real. Doubts about our ability to pay our rent and our mortgage. Doubts about whether we can succeed in our jobs, about whether we are doing well enough as parents. Worries about whether our mortgage banker is purposely delaying responding to emails so that they can get the best possible rate. Maybe that's just me. But all these worries come into us when we see the light of Christmas fading. And that's why I wanted to preach on Isaiah this morning and not on the slaughter of the innocents. There will be many sermons in the future on Pastor Matthew, but today I want to go back, because one of the things that Isaiah makes clear in this passage, now we read it through Christian eyes, and we read the Savior and God with us, Emmanuel, as Jesus, because we are Christians and that's what we do. And that's the way that we interpreted this passage. But of course, Isaiah writing is writing about something that happened in the past. Isaiah is faced with a people who are very worried about their future, about their existence as a people, about their history. Perhaps their story will end in exile in Babylon and be wiped off the face of the earth. This happened to a lot of religions in the ancient Near East. There are very few that survived in any significant way to the future, to now. So this is a very real worry for a people conquered, their great city destroyed, and them sent far away into exile. And rather than talking about the way God let down the people of Israel, Isaiah's response in this passage is to go back and say, "Let me recount the good things that happened. The joys of the past. Let me remind you that just as our story does not begin in exile, our story will not end in exile, because we have been exiled before." Because, of course, the book of Exodus tells us the story about a tribe of people who fled famine to go to Egypt, only to find themselves exiled in bondage. And then, as Isaiah reminds us, it was not an angel or a messenger of the Lord that saved us. It was God's presence that saved us. It was God seeing us suffering in Egypt and coming to be with us that saved us. This was the God that said, "I see you, and I want to help." And in the story of Exodus, God did help. God intervened. But then came the miraculous thing. Yes, this was just a prelude to the miraculous thing. Because the miraculous thing happened on Sinai. God went from being the God that comes to save the people Israel to the God that comes and bargains with Israel on equal terms. This is the God that we worship. The God that comes to us and then it says, "I will make a bargain with you that is as binding on me, God, as it is on you. And that bargain at Sinai was, I will be your God, you will be my people. But this is the second time that we see God coming down to be with a people in chaos, in disarray, because when you show up in this new place that you have not lived in for many generations, and there's no structures there, there are no real cities there. If there are cities, the cities are really hostile towards you, and you've got a bunch of people with no homes. Well, that's not exactly a paradise situation. So there in the midst of chaos, God came to the people of Israel and said, in your worries, know that I am your God and you are my people. Be reassured, this is the foundation on which you build this country. And they did. And then in Isaiah's time, they were worried again. And Isaiah reminds the people, God is with you. For all the fears that you have, know that God is by your side. Anytime you feel alone, know that God is with you. You are a loved child of God, and you are one of God's people. And so as much as you fear and doubt your own worth, know that God sees worth in you in your darkest moment. When you feel weakest, know that God feels your pain. And God loves you. And people were reassured, and Israel was restored. And then the writing was on the wall again. Rome occupied Jerusalem. Rome occupied Israel. And God said, they need a reminder for the times ahead when the temple will once again be destroyed and the people once again sent into exile. And on the darkest night, the reminder came to us in the form of a baby in a manger. Jesus Emmanuel, God with us. So that when we feel the worries and doubts of the world, when we forget the hope and the joy of Christmas in these coming weeks and months, which will be hard, because that is part of our life. Suffering is part of our life. But God knows that. And that is why God sent Jesus to be with us, to suffer with us, to show us that our story does not begin in the suffering and does not end in the suffering, does not begin in what we can accomplish, does not end in what we can accomplish. Our story started those thousands of years ago in exile of our spiritual ancestors. Our story will end thousands of years in the future when we have finally built the kingdom of God on this earth. And in our own journey, in our part of this story, God is with us. And that presence on Christmas Eve, that time when we saw the candles lit to drive away the darkness and the greenery standing in defiance of the cold outside, that is the feeling we can carry with us for the rest of the year. It is easy to feel the presence on that warm night of Christmas Eve. But it's with us all the time. If only we can hold on to it and remember that sense of hope and joy, that sense of possibility that we can share this love that we felt with everyone we see. Because when you spread love, love grows stronger. And as the preacher said,